The Coram Deo Church Community is a missional church rooted in historic, biblical Christianity and committed to cultural engagement. We hope the message you're about to hear spurs you to deeper reflection on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening.
The scripture reading this morning is Matthew 6, verses 1 through 18. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty praises or phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, and we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The word of God for the people of God.
You don't have to raise your hand, but have you ever checked to see how many likes one of your posts got? Have you ever scrolled through your replies to see if someone significant or important actually replied back to you? Or have you ever checked your email late at night hoping that your boss or coworker would send some level of affirmation or acceptance for a job well done? Now, if you haven't done any of those things, I'd be kind of surprised. Not because you're a bad person or anything like that, but because deep down, inside every human being, is a desire to be seen and known. We all want to be noticed. We all want someone to pay attention to what we're doing. Christian psychologist Kurt Thompson says it like this: we are all born into this world looking for someone looking at us. See, from the very moment we draw our first breath, we have this innate desire to be seen, to be noticed, to be acknowledged. It starts as an infant, the infant who cries until someone comes and gets them. It's the toddler who is standing on the couch and saying, watch me, before he or she jumps. It's the teenager that carefully curates their social media feed to present just the right sort of image. Or it's the employee who works late into the night hoping one's boss notices their work. We're all looking for someone looking for us. In his book, How to Know a Person, author David Brooks writes about what he calls the illuminators. These are people who have a rare ability to make other people feel seen and known. He says that when you encounter an illuminator, you feel more alive in their presence. They make you feel like you are worth someone getting to know and spend time with. And that's what we're all longing for, to be noticed, but not just noticed, to be truly seen and deeply known. But here's the problem. This good desire is easily corrupted. This beautiful longing can become a tyrant that we are enslaved to. And in Matthew 6, 1 through 18, Jesus addresses this issue head on. Jesus knows that our desire to be seen can corrupt our regular rhythms of worship and devotion. He knows that it can transform our acts of righteousness into deeds of performance to enhance our reputation. I mean, just look at verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness. Notice that word, beware. This is a warning. This passage is a warning from the mouth of Jesus. Jesus is diagnosing a spiritual condition that threatens to undermine our entire relationship with God and with others. And notice throughout this passage, as it was being read, there's a common phrase that occurs throughout each of the sections. This phrase, in order to be seen. Verse 1, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. Literally, that first verse could be translated, watch out that you do not do your righteousness in front of other people in order to be a theater before them. Or verse 5, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners that they may be seen by others. In verse 16, at the end of the passage, when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. See, this is what I want you to understand from this passage this morning. You must kill your need to be seen. That's the big idea this morning. You must kill your need to be seen. And I want to show you that in two parts. Pretty simple. The problem and then the solution. So first, the problem. The problem is that we want to be seen by others in a way that discounts and diminishes God. Now, I do want to do some nuance here. See, we all have this desire to be seen, and that's a good thing. A good parent sees and notices their child. A good husband sees and notices his wife. We don't like it when someone's head down looking at their phone. Why? Because looking at someone, seeing someone communicates love and acceptance and care and intentionality. Naturally, we all get this. It's part of our humanity given to us by God to be seen and known. Our desire to be noticed is not just something that is a result of sin and the fall. It's part of who you are made as an image bearer of God. So hear me clearly when I say this. When I say you must kill your need to be seen, I'm talking about something very specific. This text is talking about something very specific. It's the need to be seen in order to gain selfish human approval that feeds one's ego and image and reputation. It's the need to be seen, but distorted, warped, and ultimately a desire to be seen that takes glory away from God and puts you at the center of the story. So maybe a more, I don't know, nuanced way, but a more wordy way of saying this big idea would be this. You must kill your need to be seen in order to build your own image and reputation. But for short, I want to stick with that short phrase, you must kill your need to be seen, because as one of your pastors, I want you to wrestle with the ways that you specifically seek to be seen that is not in line with the way of Jesus. So with that, let's look at the text here, starting in verse 2. Thus, Jesus says, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The hypocrites literally announce their generosity. They sound the trumpet. That word hypocrites in verse 2 is also kind of comes through the passage at various points. It's a word, hypocrite. It's a word that in Jesus' day meant performer or even play actor. Later on in this passage, the hypocrites or the performers pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, the most visible place for everyone to see. And again, later on in this passage, the performers or hypocrites, they fast in such a way where they disfigure their faces to make sure everyone knows that they are rigorous and righteous in their rituals. See, the problem, back to the title of this point, the problem is that religion can easily become a means of being seen by others in a self-centered way. And when this happens, it ruins our relationship with God and it ruins our relationship with others. David Brooks, in that same book I mentioned a moment ago, makes a crucial distinction between the eliminators, who I mentioned, but also this other category of people he calls the diminishers. The diminishers are people who make you feel small, make you feel unseen, like you don't really matter. They look past you. They interrupt you. They're the kinds of people who, when you're in a room with others, that they're always looking past you to see if there's someone more important to talk to. And we've all been around people like that. But here's what Brooks doesn't say, but what Jesus does. That we're not just victims of diminishers, we are diminishers. Our need to be seen keeps us from truly seeing others. Think about it like this. When you're obsessed with your image, you can't celebrate the success of someone else. When you're desperate for recognition, you can't serve behind the scenes without some level of resentment bubbling up. When you're performing for human approval, you can't truly love your neighbor because your neighbor either becomes an audience to perform for or a competitor to outshine. Your addiction to being seen doesn't just hurt you. It poisons your relationships. And not only that, when we practice our faith to be seen by others, we're essentially stealing glory that belongs only to God and putting ourselves at the center. We forget that God is at the center, not you. God is the source of all goodness, not you. God deserves the glory, not you. Our need to be seen affects our relationships with others, and it affects our relationship with God, and it even affects our relationship with our own selves. When we're constantly performing for human approval, we become anxious, exhausted, and we live from a place of either pretending and performing. When you live your life always concerned about being seen by others, well, that just kills joy. It's okay to be honest about this. It's okay to be honest with your need to be seen. We prepare sermons and big ideas fairly well out in advance, and this sermon in particular has been one that we've had the big idea for at least a few months now, and especially over the past handful of weeks. It's a sermon that has been personally just messing with me. Because this idea of wanting to be seen and be noticed by others, this is my chief sin. This is, I don't know what word you want to put this to, the irony, the paradox, the whatever, of being up here on a fairly regular basis and then being confronted with a text and a sermon like this. And especially over the past handful of weeks where I've been up here a little bit more than anticipated or planned. There was something that came up within me a few weeks ago where I was kind of just there by myself, and this feeling and thought came up of like, well, I'm going to get to preach a little bit more. I was like, what is that? Why do I care so much? And I had to sit down with a couple of the elders, and I just wanted to name that and confess that. Like, that's not who I want to be. I don't want to be up here from a place of seeking just mere human approval. Of course, I want to do well and study well and speak well, all those things. But when that gets corrupted and it becomes more about what you think of me versus what God thinks, then that needs to be put to death. And so I say that as someone that ongoing work in progress, experiencing, yes, more and more freedom of that, but needing to name that and to put that to death. You know, there's a part of me that I was telling my wife this a little bit, and she's like, well, maybe you should just preach behind these little lattice things back here. It's kind of tempting, I guess. But I want to invite you into that same process. Because there's freedom. Jesus is going to speak of freedom in this passage. See, because here's the powerful paradox Jesus exposes here. Follow me closely here. When you're desperate to be seen by everyone, you end up truly being seen by no one. Because you're not presenting your true self. You're presenting a performance. You're presenting a facade, a curated image. You're presenting kind of your own personal brand. And so people don't actually see and know you. They see a mask. They see a performance. They see what you want them to see. Which means one of our deepest longings, one of our deepest needs to be truly known and truly loved, never actually gets met. You're kind of seen, but you're not really known. You're kind of noticed, but you're not really understood. You might even be praised, but you're not genuinely loved, because this is the trap of man-centered self-righteousness. Because you actually get what you're performing for. You get the attention, you get the recognition, you get the applause, but you lose what you actually need to be deeply seen and deeply loved for who you are. Again, we all have a longing and a desire and a need to be seen, and that's a good thing. Don't miss that. But sin twists that need. And so we end up seeking to be seen for all the wrong reasons, mere attention and applause and performance, rather than for something deeper. Jesus says right here, then you have received your reward in full. Translation, that shallow approval that you're all getting, you're settling for scraps when an abundant feast is available to you. See, hopefully you can see the problem. That our need to be seen, when it's distorted, corrupts our discipleship to Jesus, and it ruins our relationships with other people. And this is why you must kill that kind of need to be seen. Not manage it, not moderate it, kill it. John Owen, the famous Puritan, is famous for saying, be killing sin, or sin will be killing you. But how? How do you kill this sort of twisted and distorted desire? Well, this leads to our second point. The solution. The solution, surprisingly and not surprisingly, is a who. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Jesus lived for the Father's gaze alone. He prayed in private, often withdrawing to desolate places, away from the crowds, to be alone with the Father. Jesus lived his life from a place of assurance and security. The Father saw the Son and delighted in him at his baptism, saying, "This is my beloved Son, within whom I am well pleased." And this anchored Jesus. You need to get this, that Jesus' identity was secure because of the Father's gaze on him. He didn't need mere human approval. He already had the approval of the one who mattered most. Jesus is the only human to live his entire life from a place of complete security and assurance, knowing that the Father sees him and loves him. He knew, Jesus did, that the Father didn't just see him, the Father loved him. And because of that, he never performed. He never pretended. He never angled his life for mere self-recognition and self-satisfaction, but then he goes to the cross, where everyone sees the most humiliating way to die. Jesus is publicly humiliated for all to see. Everyone saw how gruesome of a death this was that was around. See, every time that you've performed for mere human approval, every time you've angled for recognition, every time you've made yourself the center of the story, Jesus took that in on your behalf. And then when you trust in him, his perfect God-centeredness is credited to your account. You stand before God not in your own righteousness, which is tainted with performance and pride, but you stand clothed in the righteousness of Christ. His humility becomes yours. His God-centeredness becomes yours. His security in the Father's gaze becomes yours in Christ. And that's the good news of the gospel, that you don't have to perform to be loved by God. Jesus has already performed perfectly for you. You don't have to earn the Father's approval. Jesus already earned it, and he gives it to you as a gift. See, here's how this works in your actual life. The Holy Spirit, when you trust in Christ, the Spirit comes to dwell in you. The same Spirit who empowered Jesus to live for the Father's glory alone now lives in you. That you don't have to white knuckle it on your way to freedom. The Spirit of the living God is transforming you from the inside out. The Spirit is weaning you off your addiction to be seen and noticed for all the wrong reasons. That's why Paul says later on, walk by the Spirit, because in your own strength, you will fail. But by the Spirit's power, you can actually kill this distorted need to be seen. See, the key, the solution, if you will, to killing your need to be seen by others is to rest in the reality that your Father in heaven already sees you? Three times in this passage, Jesus uses the phrase, your Father who sees in secret. Verse 4, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Verse 18, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. This is an invitation. This is an invitation to rest, an invitation to trust. That do you really believe and trust that the gaze of the Heavenly Father is what your soul desperately longs for? See, notice that that phrase, your Father who sees, it's a statement, it's not a command. Jesus isn't commanding the Father to see you. He's declaring the reality that the Heavenly Father already does see you, that this is the present reality for anyone who is a disciple in Christ. The Father sees you completely. Your struggles, your failures, all of your sin, he sees your genuine desire to love him. He sees all of the hardship, all of the suffering, all of the pain. He sees it all. To adapt something that Tim Keller is famous for saying, listen to this. To be loved but not seen is comforting but superficial. To be seen and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully seen and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God. It is what we need more than anything. It liberates us from pretense, humbles us out of self-righteousness, and fortifies us for any difficulty life can throw at us. Think about the assurance that this brings. Think about the security that the gospel brings in Christ. That you don't have to perform, you don't have to pretend, but you are fully seen and fully loved if you've placed your faith and trust in Christ. Friends, all of your life is meant to be lived before the face of God, before the sight of God. That's what the name of our church means, Coram Deo, living one's entire life in the presence of God, in the presence of the God who sees and knows all, and in Christ. You are seen and fully loved despite your deepest sins. Despite all the times someone else has told you, not good enough. Despite all the times you heard growing up, do better next time. Despite all of the times you don't feel like you measure up even to your own standards. Because in Christ, you are seen and you are loved. Friends, what joy and what assurance you can have in the gospel. That this is all of yours and it's yours freely as a gift because of what Christ has done. Now, you have to listen carefully here. Because you can only rest in the Father's gaze if you are in Christ. Apart from Christ, the Father's gaze is terrifying because he sees only your sin. He sees only your glory still. He sees your hypocrisy, but in Christ, united to him by faith, the Father's gaze is different. The Father sees you clothed in the righteousness of Christ. He sees you as his beloved child. He sees you the way that he sees Jesus. And that's why you can rest. That's why you can have assurance. Because in the Father's gaze, you are not defined by your achievements. You're defined as a son or daughter in God. You're not measured by your performance. You're measured on Christ's performance on your behalf. See, the Father's gaze is radically different than anything else. It's full and complete because the Father sees everything. Not just public performance, but he sees the pain and hurt that you carry. The Father's gaze is completely loving. The Father's gaze is filled with love and grace, not with that critical eye of disdain. The Father's gaze is constant. You never have to worry if you have the Father's attention or not. In Christ, you already have it. And when you truly believe and truly rest in this reality that the Father sees you, that desperate need for self-centered, distorted humanness to be seen begins to lose its power. You don't need to perform as much. You don't need to pretend as much because you're experiencing and walking in the joy of gospel freedom. See, friends, Jesus here provides a better way. He says, because the Father sees, and because you're becoming more and more satisfied with the fact that the Father sees and delights in you, that when you give, you can do it quietly and without fanfare. Not to hide generosity forever, but to ensure that your primary motivation is love of God and love of neighbor. And that when you pray, that you can go into your room and shut the door, because private prayer is where authenticity thrives. In your room with the door shut, so to speak, there's no audience to impress. It's just you and it's just God. And when you fast, Jesus is saying, don't advertise it. Instead of looking miserable in your spiritual rigor and discipline, the Father already sees. So you are now free in Christ to practice your righteousness in secret. Friends, you are free to do the things God wants you to do without needing recognition. Now, don't miss the prayer that sits at the heart of this passage. It's probably familiar to almost everyone in this room. It's the Lord's Prayer. It's what we just prayed a handful of moments ago. It's a prayer that we pray each and every Sunday here at Coramdale, and that's no accident. Because this prayer is perhaps the most powerful and practical tool Jesus gives us for killing our need, this distorted need to be seen. See, this prayer redirects our attention away from ourselves and toward God. And look down in your Bibles as we kind of work through this prayer here. It starts, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." See, before asking anything, you're focusing on his glory, his name, his reputation. You start with God in this prayer. Then the prayer moves. Then your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See here, you are surrendering your agenda. You are saying, God, I am not at the center. You are. Your plans, your purposes, that is what matters most. And the prayer continues. Give us this day our daily bread. This is a prayer of dependence. This is a prayer where you are acknowledging your need, that you recognize that even the most basic necessities in life, you are dependent on God for. That there is no room for self-sufficiency in the Christian life. And the prayer continues, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. This prayer is a prayer of humility. You are admitting your need for forgiveness and committing to extend that same need to others. Because pride has no place in the Christian life. This is a prayer that's redirecting our gaze back toward God and in such a way transforming us that we might exhibit and live out the forgiveness and grace that God has shown us. And to close, the prayer ends with, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us or rescue us out of evil. The prayer ends with you acknowledging your weakness and inability to save yourself. Your utter dependence on God to deliver you and to bring you through trial and testing and temptation that you need, we need, his guidance and his strength. And when you pray this prayer regularly and sincerely, it begins to rewire your heart. It trains you to think more Godward than selfward, and it reminds you daily that God is at the center of reality, not you. See, this prayer is a prayer that is a gift that our Lord Jesus Christ gives us, that when we pray it intentionally and intelligently, it will redirect our gaze away from ourselves and toward our Father who is in heaven. This is why we pray this each and every week. Not because it's some ritual that becomes rote, but because it is medicine. It is medicine for your soul, a soul addicted to human approval. So friends, as we close, this is the simple truth that I want you to remember. You must kill your need to be seen. And by now, I hope you know what I mean and don't mean by that phrase. So let me ask you a question. How do you see the need to be seen manifest itself in your life? Whose gaze do you really want? Who do you really want to notice you? When you pray, who are you really praying for? Whose recognition would you just so desperately love to have? So how do you see this need manifest itself in your life? And so friends, could I just invite you this morning as we close to just a simple act of both repentance and faith. Repentance. God, forgive my distorted desire to be seen. Just simply name and confess that before God. And then faith, thanking the Father that you see everything, you know everything, and that Father, your gaze truly is enough. Trusting, believing that in Christ, the reality that the Father sees is enough for your soul. The Father sees you already if you're in Christ. The Father already loves you. And the Father already delights in you, not because of what you do or don't do, but because of what Christ has done. So Father, we ask that you would help this be a deeper, more profound reality in our lives. God, would you forgive us for the ways that we seek to be seen in order to gain human approval and recognition just for our own selves? Would you help us to see the joy and the beauty of confession and repentance, that as we walk in the light, we are truly seen for who we really are? And that brings freedom. That brings life. So would you push back the lies that say that we have to pretend and perform to be valued by you? God, would you bring just a spirit of freedom and joy and worship this morning? That because of you, Jesus, we can be fully seen and fully loved. So God, we long for that. We need you for that, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray. In your name, amen.